Good politics is founded on extraordinary hope. Political imagination is the fancy that the world can get better and that the actions of men and women can together make it so. That act of utopian imagination is a description of democratic politics at its best. It is heard to great effect in the words of Marcus Tullius Cicero, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and Barack Obama. This is where we hear the idea of popular power expressed in language lifted to move the people. It is politics enchanted once again. One of the flaws of liberal democracies is that when they succeed, they start to sound boring. Over time, power has a tendency to corrupt language, though not because politicians are venal. It is because success turns a politician from a campaigner into a technocrat. Their speeches, and I plead guilty to writing some of them, become one half braggadocio about achievements to date, and one half technical exposition on policy detail. The enchantment goes missing, and so does utopian hope. Half a millennium ago, in 1516, Thomas More published a strange and remarkable volume called Utopia. Oddly, for a man with a deserved reputation for severity, a lifelong wearer of a hair shirt, More was fond of jokes, and the title of his most famous book is a tease. Does he mean Utopia, the good place, or does he mean Utopia, no place at all? He adds to the sense of play by giving his narrator the name of Raphael Hithlode, which translates from Greek as speaker of nonsense. More's text causes us to ponder whether Utopia is his version of the perfect society or a kind of Tudor cabaret act. The clue to the riddle is also the link between Cicero and the rhetoric of the American Republic, and it is found in More's subtitle, Optimus Status Republicae, the best state of the Commonwealth. Or, to put it in a current idiom, the perfect state of the Union. More sends his narrator Hithlode on a journey to Utopia, where he discovers, ready-made in the ocean, a society that dramatizes Cicero's argument for the Roman Republic. That argument, which More revives and which Jefferson, Lincoln, Kennedy, and Obama all articulate, is how the people are to be heard. More's answer to that question is politics. The noble life, he argues, is one that is dedicated to public service in the name of the people. This marks a change from the Greek tradition, in which it was thought that a citizen had to be of noble birth. Cicero's argument is that virtue, rather than inherited wealth, should have its reward. It is in the finest speeches about popular power that this idea is expressed. But it is not just the beauty of the idea that makes these speeches fine. The beauty of the diction counts too. Fixing problems is the purpose of democratic politics, but saying so is never enough. As La Rochefoucauld said, the passions are the only orators that convince. Democratic politics still needs the elevation of Cicero's case for the Roman Republic, Thomas Jefferson's praise of the blessing of equal liberty for all, Abraham Lincoln's ability to summarize the promise of democracy in a single phrase, John F. Kennedy's call for an active citizen body, and Barack Obama's extraordinary, audacious hope. All these speakers express in unforgettable cadences the political virtue of granting power to the people. But in our time, an alternative utopia to liberal democratic politics has risen again in the form of populism. If politics is to turn away from this phony appeal to the people, it can only do so in words that once again resound to the times. If politics has become dry, then it needs to be reinvigorated by the precious democratic gift represented by the principle of hope. Popular politics cannot work without utopian spirit. We need to draw from More's utopia its sense of possibility, because the spirit of utopia is a desire for progress. It is a way of thinking that reminds us that the world might be different. This hope needs to be expressed in words that take wing. Rhetoric is the art of public persuasion, And if the ideas of liberal democracy are to retain their hold over the imagination of the people, they need to be argued with clarity and elevation. In the speeches that follow, they are.